This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Never been so free.
Stephanie Wood has brought these amazing instruments that she works with, and I wanted her to tell you a little bit about them before we get there. Stephanie, what you got?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all, bright, shining faces. So many people think of gong as what? The what show? The gong show, right? Yeah. So these are actually used in a little bit of a different way. So yes, they can be that. But really, they're opportunities or instruments to take us into a different place within ourselves, right? And within the soundscape. So they're an opportunity to relax or to meditate or to a contemplative state or to a place of inspiration that can bring up new ideas and new sense of creativity. So I invite you just to take in the sounds today that we're bringing and just let yourself go to that natural place that your body wants to go to. So,
can you tell us which different kinds?
Sure, so these are small chow gongs, and they are from China, mostly bronze. And then this is a Matt Nolan gong, very special Matt Nolan gong from the UK by a very small, small production gongsmith. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for inviting me to do the poem. I asked my wife to... I didn't even mention it to her in the car coming down here because I said, I'll wait till I get here, wait till before I get on, and ask her to say a little about Langston Hughes. I'm going to do a poem that he wrote called Mother to Son, but I wanted to give you more information about just who he was. And my wife has written a book this year that got published last year, and it was an anthology. And one of the writers in the anthology was Langston Hughes.
So yes, I was ambushed. But thank you, and it's my honor to be here. As Aaron said, it's the time of the service that's sacred, and leading up to the meditation, which is always so special for me. And it's also a sacred time of year, and forgive me because I'm a writer, so I have to write everything. I cannot just get up and say, but so I wrote these little notes to just share with you that it's a sacred time of year because Black History Month honors those that came before, as you may know, and a lot of people joke that we got gypped because it's February, the shortest month of the year. However, those who know Black history know that the history started with Negro History Week. And Carter G. Woodson, who started Negro History Week, a historian, started it in February because he was trying to honor Abraham Lincoln, the emancipator whose birthday is February the 12th, and the abolitionist Frederick Douglass, who was born enslaved but did not know his birthday, so he chose Valentine's Day. I didn't even know they celebrated Valentine's Day that long ago, for that long. So he chose this week, and then it morphed into, in the 60s, a month. So it became African American History Month. And the poem that Reggie's going to read by Langston Hughes, coincidentally, his birthday is February the 1st. And that birthday is coincident with my own dad's birthday, who was just February 1st. Then he was born, Langston Hughes was born in 1902, and my dad was born in 1903. He had me late in life. I'm just a baby, really. He had a late life baby. But he really related to Langston Hughes. They were from the same state, and they even spoke alike. They had the same kind of humor. And my dad liked to recite Langston Hughes poems. And historically, for Seattle, it happens in Seattle history that my father, who was the first black attorney and state legislator, recited this poem in a death penalty case, a trial of the 1960s. And it was reported that his recitation won the case. And we have Jackie, who knows our family. Pamela Grace happens. It's wonderful that she's here today because my family's known her family. My mother told me that her parents were some of the first that she met when she arrived in Seattle from Selma. So Pamela also knew my dad. And lastly, in another Washington State connection, Langston Hughes was discovered by the poet Vachel Lindsay, who was from Spokane. So all this, as Reggie said, is in my book, Daily Cornbread. I mean, that was my first book, Daily Cornbread. The recent one is called Black Ink, Literary Legends on the Peril, Power, and Pleasure of Reading and Writing. So now it's my joy to present to you Reginald Oliver, who will present the poem by Langston Hughes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
A mother to son. Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It had tacks in it and splinters and boards turned up and places with carpet on the floor, with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I've been climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on steps, 'cause you find it kind of hard. You don't fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing. Life for me ain't been no silver staircase.
Yourself into joy.
Pour your joy in me. Pour your joy into my heart. Oh, wonderful Spirit.
Pour your joy.
Pour your joy.
Peace in me,
pour your peace into my heart. Oh.
Good morning, Seattle Unity. Hello, 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 hello. I'm seeing friends, 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 and thank you so much for the warm welcome. It is such a joy. I love coming here. I've been visiting, but not enough. This is my favorite center. I got the privilege and the honor of speaking at other churches in Canada and in Mount Vernon, but this is my favorite. It really is. And I have to say, you all are to be congratulated for being here. I have done Church in a Box 3 times. 1 was my church, and 2 were churches other people had. And in those situations, they started as Church in a Box. They didn't come from a brick and mortar church and become, this is a church in the box, in case you come in and you take everything out of the box and you make church and you put it back in the box and you go home. That's Church in a Box. And it can be a bit of a pain. By the time we finally, in my little community, I turned it over to the guys and they got a day place that they have 7 days a week, I was over Church in a Box. I said, if I pack one more box, just one more, I am going to lose my religion. So you are to be congratulated for hanging in here. And also, I'm very impressed at how church just goes beautifully without Reverend Karen. I mean, I noticed it before you moved here, but I'm very impressed. There's food, there's hot water, it's, you know, the chairs are all set up, there's music, there's programs. That's amazing. So again, you're to be congratulated for hanging in there. And when I'm asked to speak at a church, I always ask the minister, is there something you'd like me to talk about? And Reverend Karen gave me the Israelites in the desert. I don't know where that came from. I don't. But I thought, oh, that's one of my favorite topics. But what happened was, so I'm developing it. It is one of my favorite topics. I've used it before to talk about faith and change and overcoming fear, you know. And I always ask the universe, aka spirit, aka God, aka Allah, whatever you want to call it, the intelligence that created all of this with our help. I always say, okay, so what should I say? And I had a different perspective this time around. So I was thinking, okay, you know, they traveled through the desert, and we all know that they sent scouts out to look at the promised land. Now, first of all, okay, promised land, but you have to go in and kill everybody to have it. I mean, really? It was a different time. It was a different time. The Old Testament, we would like it to be a different time, wouldn't we? Yeah, but we're not going there. I promise no politics, no social, no, not, I promise not to, we're not going there. Thank you very much. But it was a different time. We'll just say that, you know, like once upon a time. So they've got this promised land, but they have to kill everybody to get it. Okay, so wouldn't you be a little hesitant? Especially when your scouts said, hey, they're big and they're, you know, they're badder than we are, and we're scared. And so I said to the universe, okay, that's a different take. Is there a reason why I'm supposed to be examining that now? All these years, I've never thought of it that way. And it came to me that when we're in change, not, who loves change? No. And I used to think I like change. I'm experiencing change now way too much. And I am not liking it. It is not my thing. I'm like, no, I liked it this way, and I want to keep it. But that's not what's happening. I've been playing with change models. Are you familiar with Kubler-Ross? The grieving model that became a change model. And I loved it because... If you could Google it if you want to, but it says, you know, you have change and you're all upset and you have a reaction toward it and you kind of say, no, 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 it can't be happening, no, 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 but it is. And then you sit in pissation about it. And that comes out in many, many ways. And in my case, I eat a lot of pizza with pepperoni. I don't care. I can wear loose things and nobody will know, except me. So you go through these changes, and then finally you come to a place where you say, okay, it's just how it is. Now I have to deal with it. And so you do. And then you move, and this is where I'm thinking you guys are. You'll have to let me know. So you move from acceptance to experimentation. That's the best piece, I think. I think that's even better to when you get to the end and you're used to it and you absorb it and you put it into your life and you move on. I think the most fun is the experimentation. And one person who has a change model calls this phase chaos. And there you are in the chaos of things. And so in the chaos, you get to brew up new stuff. You got a whole pot of chaos. You can put a little of this in it and take some of that out of it. And you can just have a great time. Like this space and what you're doing with it. You have just gone all over the place, adjusting in ways. Frankly, I love this particular room. I love the openness. I love all the light. I love the casualness of it. Now, granted, I know now and then there's a problem with the seat. I kept falling through it when I leaned on it. And I was like, okay, remember to lean on the front edge, not the back edge. But you have this totally different experience. Now, there's another person who talks about change who says, you know, the problem with us is we get too stuck on doing things the same way, and we should just do things differently all the time. Like, this is how you walk to your house. Well, don't walk that way. You know, walk to your house around this way. Now, how many of you have a direct path from your car to your house that you use all the time? Thank you, honest people. Now, how many of you who use that path all the time could actually take another path? A few of you. Yeah. Yeah, I could go around the car in the back, or I could go around the car in the front. It's actually almost the same distance. But making those little changes sort of helps us not get too stuck on what we're used to. Like, I had a real hard time allowing myself to use my iPad for my outline this morning. I was like, but I always download it and print it out and bring that paper. I was like, no, you go ahead. You paid a lot of money for that iPad. Use it. So I have it on. Yes, I was very proud of myself. They have little mind mapping things online, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's juiced up, it'll stay for a minute, I'm good. I mean, now really, if it takes that much to move from paper to the iPad, what about the rest of our lives? So here you are, you're in the midst of change and you're having so much fun. Fortunately, the promised land is not a place where you have to go, you know, do damage to people to get it. It's coming. And here it is right now. This is a delightful promised land. When you go back, I don't know what it's going to be like when you get your regular space again. But it'll be different, won't it? It'll be different from this. It'll be another change. So, change happens. I saw once in a bathroom, ladies' room in downtown San Francisco, written in the ladies' room over the stall, just when I find out where it's at, they up and move it. And it was so true, I didn't even laugh, because I was living there, and somebody would tell me, oh, there's this new hot spot to go dancing. It's really great. And I would get there, and I was like, ooh. It had changed. It was no longer. Whatever was great about it before was gone. So I really took that one to heart. But that's what it is. Just when we think we know, we got a handle on it. We got it covered. Not so much. So change happens. And right now, you are, Ian LeVanzant wrote a book about it. You're sitting in the void. Ian LeVanzant, I don't know, are you familiar with Ian LeVanzant, some of you? She's a writer and a poet and what have you. Well, she wrote about the void, and it was a number of years ago, wasn't it, Stephanie? A number of years ago, a good 30 years ago. I remember trying to make my way through it. It was complex. But the void means that you're open. You have opportunities. You can create. When I was coming in this morning, they were interviewing James Taylor, the singer-songwriter. And the last thing I heard, I thought this was so interesting. She was asking him about his life and what he changed and yada, 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 and how he came through the hardships of drugs and alcohol and whatever else. And he said, I realized that all my problems, I made myself. And he's just written a new song and put out a new album, and his favorite song is It's As Easy As Falling Off a Log. It's a cute little light song, I think, about love. And that's when she said, well, you know, is that your deep realization? He said, yeah, I created my life. Now look, if James Taylor can come to that conclusion without belonging to a Unity Church or a Science and Mind Church or some other metaphysical church like we're in, can we sit out here and say, oh, I don't know why that's happening to me? Can't do it, can we? So let's talk about the Israelites, because I told Reverend Karen I would. So they were in the void in the desert. They were in the void. And here's the thing. It's so interesting when this one always got me in that story. They were like, look what you did. You brought us out here to the desert to die. We would have been better off with Pharaoh. You know they said that. It's in the Bible. So it's true. However, one of the things I do love about the Old Testament is the life lessons. I mean, who doesn't say, look, I had it better over there under Pharaoh than we have now? You know, how, and it shows up in these interesting ways. It can be very subtle. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody in here, I know I'm not the only one. We're like, well, it was better over there. Now I'm there. One of my favorite jazz songs. Since I started speaking here, I started singing jazz. And one of my favorite jazz songs is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. The way you're acting lately makes me doubt. I love that. Yeah, this, to me, it's, you know, it's like, do we believe this stuff or don't we? Is we is or is we ain't? Knowing the truth of this experience, that regardless, oh, wait, I have to tell you, again and again, the universe keeps telling me, look, now and then, your toast is gonna fall butter side down. It's just gonna happen. You know, now and then you're going to stub your toe. You're going to scratch your knee. You're going to have something in your life where you're like, I did not ask for that. I don't remember asking for that. When I was creating my life, that was not in the picture. Well, yeah. And now and then you're going to feel bad. You're going to feel bad. I am learning to go ahead and feel bad and be okay with feeling bad, because I don't know for sure about Unity, but Science and Mind is a happy philosophy. It's so happy that people die and they don't tell you they're dying. It's very, very sad that we can't go there. It's okay to experience the plethora, the range of emotion. It's okay to be foot stomping mad and very insecure for a moment and wondering, who am I and what am I worth? Do I matter? It's okay to ask that question, because if we don't ask that question, we don't get the answer. that we do matter very much. That just our being here and just our showing up, makes all the difference. And we don't always get to know what difference we make. We just have to live our lives, make the differences that we're conscious of where we can, and know that Spirit's got our back. So is you is, or is you ain't. And what I find over and over and over again about this trust walk, yes, it's happening here at Unity where everything is different. And it's happening, I don't know, how many of you are dealing with some kind of challenge in your life right now? Yes, just about everybody. And for those of you who have your hands down, just wait a minute. Yeah. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. So it ends up being kind of like what James Taylor was saying. We create it. And we can recreate, and we can maybe not manage out there, but we can certainly manage in here and trust a higher power to manage out there. So trust is what the Israelites lacked. And how many times does the universe have to say, trust me, I gotcha? How many times? How many ways? What was that, the manna falling out of heaven? And they're like, okay, yeah. But, Pharaoh, we didn't have them. It went on and on. How many times does the universe have to show up for you before we say, okay, the universe is always present. I just have to open to it. Yes, we do have a choice. We can take the plug out of the wall and we don't have electricity, right? But we can take ourselves spiritually as a plug out of the wall and we're not gonna feel the presence. But if we open up ourselves to that, we'll feel the presence. It's there. It's all around us. We just have to open to it. So in the midst of change, opening up to it is so important. Now there's one more poem we're working on. There it is. I love this. This is a poem from Rumi, and it's the simpler interpretation for those of you who are Rumioids and you really know Rumi. There are several interpretations of Rumi's poetry. He's a Sufi. He was a Sufi, holy man kind of a person. And the friend that he refers to is said to be spirit, according to various interpretations. So, this is about a chickpea, you know, those little peas. A chickpea leaps almost over the rim of the pot where it's being boiled. "Why are you doing this to me?" it asks. The cook knocks him back down into the pot. I love that part. "Don't you try to drop out. You think I'm torturing you. I'm just giving you flavor so you can mix with the spices and the rice and be the lovely vitality of a human being. Remember when you drank rain in the garden? That was for this, grace first, sexual pleasure. Then a boiling new life begins. And the friend has something good to eat. Eventually, the chickpea will say to the cook, boil me some more. Hit me with a skimming spoon. I can't do this myself. I'm like an elephant that dreams of gardens back in the Hindustan and doesn't pay attention to his driver. You're my cook, my driver, my way into existence. I love your cooking. And so, in the midst of change, we're the chickpea trying to get out of the pot. It's too hot. I don't want to be here. I liked it better on the vine. And yet, the boiling that is happening and the spices that are in that pot that are seasoning us, seasoning our souls, if you will. These experiences. It's easier if we don't resist the learning and we just open up to it and allow it and allow ourselves and continually listen to that intuitive intelligence that is spirit speaking through us. So again, it has been a delight being here. I just love it. Love the music, love the music, love the music, love the people. Thank you. And it's been also been a delight to be here with Reggie and Stephanie. She mentioned we grew up together and knew each other's families, and there's other folks in here I grew up with. That was not my experience in California, but it is my experience in Seattle, and I love that. So thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for being here as this community. And I'll see you again soon.
Never hold nothing back. Take my life and let it be set on fire for all to see. Come again, don't leave me the way I've been. Take my heart into your hands, come and finish what you began. Till I see your kingdom first and I shine, shine, shine like heaven on earth. Yeah, like heaven on earth. Like heaven on earth.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity. Celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shine.